Mayor's in. Want to hit on a lot of topics with him as he visits on this Wednesday morning. And let's just start with the most obvious that's always out there, the downtown construction, the recent opening of West Washington. Where do we stand and where are we going as it gets a little bit colder outside?
So, yeah, as you said, they've opened West Washington. The surface, you know, for people who are asking or paying attention, the surface is not down yet, and we won't put it down until we complete the interior of the public square next year. That way it'll be essentially seamless. It'll all be new. It'll all look good, and we'll do that. So the surface that you see on West Washington is what you'll see throughout the winter. They're putting asphalt down on North Harrison right now, so I stopped in and checked on that this morning on my way in to the radio station, and they are laying down asphalt now right at Exclamation's Daniel Kincaid's business there. So they were starting to put that down. We're still on schedule. You know, we'd reported a couple months ago that we'd had a delay because of some waterline issues. Those have been resolved. Beatty, who is our local contractor, has done a fantastic job working Saturdays to get us caught up. And so we are pretty close to schedule now again. We should be making the shift of traffic from the east side of Harrison Street to the west side in the next week or so and start the demo on that. Because there are far fewer utility conflicts on the east side, that should go much quicker. And so we should be able to get most of that done before the onset of winter. And of course, if we have a mild winter, then we'll continue to work. Temperature restrictions for asphalt, for concrete, things like that. Asphalt plants usually shut down around Thanksgiving. And so, you know, that will kind of be a hard stop at that point. But we can continue to do curb and gutter work and sidewalk work and concrete as long as it doesn't freeze. And so I think we'll be okay.
I'll go ahead and throw, since you mentioned the word sidewalk, you've got sidewalk work all over the city, let alone downtown.
We do. You know, we made a very active effort, gosh, 4 or 5 years ago at least, on replacing sidewalks. You know, we created the Livable Communities Coalition several years ago as a partnership with Shelby Senior Services and with the Action Club and the ARC and really tried to pull together a group of people of varying abilities, people who may have mobility issues, things of that nature. And so we pulled them together and we identified key areas in the community that needed to be replaced. And we've stuck to that. You know, we've put down hundreds, 500-600 curb ramps, you know, making those places accessible and sidewalks and things like that, really trying to make Shelbyville a walkable community. And the interesting payoff on that is we had a meeting with a real estate developer on Friday, and they're looking at multiple locations in the county, not just Shelbyville, but other places as well, for residential development, housing, single family. And that was the comment that they'd made, was that the communities that they're most successful in are the ones that have spent the time and purposefully have made the effort to make their communities accessible to everyone. And we talked about, again, you know, we always have to do our sales pitch, if you will, to those people who aren't familiar to our community. And we talked about, you know, how we're trying to change our demographic from a demographic that didn't have those young families or those people who are going to be here to sustain us throughout the generations, and how we've made that change and we've seen that shift. And once you take a step back, you know, being in the middle of something is different than looking at it from the outside. And once you take a step back and actually look collectively at what we've accomplished as a community in the last, you know, 7-8 years, it's pretty phenomenal. We had our board meeting with Advantage Shelby County 2 days ago, and we went over our post-secondary educational attainment rates. The state average is 39%. So after high school, 39% of our graduating students go on to a higher education, either an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree or even advanced degrees. So 39% is the state average. In 2014, we were 21%.
Wow.
As of last year, with this last group of kids coming through Advantage Shelby County, we have increased to 30%. So we've increased 9% in the last 4 or 5 years. I think that's astounding, you know, the fact that we had a group of people who got together, created these programs, and we've cut that 18% deficit in half in 4 or 5 years, you know? And so those are the successes that we've had in this community that we don't talk about every day. But those first gen students, first generation of family going to college, you know, getting that education, having better opportunities to have better jobs, higher paying wages, that's a pretty important milestone in our community.
We'll steer you back to downtown just for a moment.
Sorry.
No. Yeah. We do that. That's why it's radio.
I do that. Yeah.
The garage is visually there. Mm. I know there's still some work going.
Yep.
We can see the changes that have been in play, and you talked about the shift of lanes that's coming up here in the not-so-distant future. When we get to 2021 springtime, what's maybe the first noticeable thing that will happen with that aspect of construction?
Well, so we'll, you know, you'll start to see things like in the spring of 2021, you'll see the trees, what few there are left downtown, coming down. Yeah. You'll see the fountain being removed, and then it'll be sent off for restoration and things like that, and the statue and the flagpoles. So you'll see those little things happening around very quickly. And then you'll see a delineation of where we identify where traffic will go. We'll either go one side or the other because we're going to do a shift, and then you'll start to see full-on demo. In the interim between this fall and the winter and early spring, we'll have meetings with all the downtown businesses. We'll continue to make sure that they have access like we've done in this project as well. I have to admit that I did get my first complaint from a downtown merchant last week because there was a question on schedule that individual felt like they had not gotten the proper information. And so we made sure that we provided that. But we will work very closely with all of the merchants to continue to let them know the schedule and to mitigate the negative impact as much as we can.
Shelbyville Mayor Tom DeBond with us on a Wednesday morning show. The online portal now available, thanks in part to OCRA. Grant money's out there for small business dealing with COVID-19.
Yeah, you know, it's very important for us to help as much as we can in our community. COVID has been one of those once in a lifetime, hopefully, situations. And so we've tried to do everything that we can. Main Street Shelbyville, the Chamber of Commerce, SCDC, the city, Blue River Foundation, we've all tried to pull together to provide that resource. We received that $250,000 grant. We kicked in a $50,000 match. And so we're doing everything that we can for those small businesses.
And now as they, and we've got the information up for those who are qualifying.
I'm looking at it right now on the Shelby County Post. Yeah.
Is it a difficult thing?
Should not be difficult. It shouldn't be cumbersome.
Better than my taxes.
Oh, well, God, I haven't seen your taxes, but yeah, yeah. The one time I tried to do my taxes, I got audited. So, you know, I gave that up, and then they reviewed my taxes every year for 3 years after.
Oh my God.
So I did it to myself. Ooh. You know, I did it to myself, but no, it should not be complicated. There's, you said, there's a portal online at cityofshelbyvillein.com. And then /COVID-19, I think, is the link. Mm-hmm. And so you can go there and complete that process. And if you have any questions at all, you can reach out to any of those agencies. I've posted it on my Facebook page. And so you can reach out to SCDC, the city, mm-hmm. Any of those folks, and they'll will assist you.
There was recently with Shelbyville Community Church looking to take the old eye doctor's office on the north side of Shelbyville and turn it into a special needs structure. Through the county, commissioners said, no, we're not going to look to rezone that, which is basically within an industrial section of the city. And now it's prompted what are going to be, I guess, conversations in the way that county and city work together, discuss right. future planning of properties that are adjacent to each other?
Yeah, so we take a step back. The same consultant, HWC, did the city and the county comp plan.
Yes.
And we did that intentionally working with the county so that we would try to mitigate as many of those conflicts as we could. And what has happened because of this issue that you mentioned is that we've now identified those areas that it may be best for the city to have zoning jurisdiction of those. We've identified those areas, we've provided a map, and we're working with the county to come up with a plan on either a memorandum of understanding or some formalized document that would allow us then to have control of those to hopefully eliminate those types of conflicts in the future.
Is that something that the two plan commissions work together on? Is it a mix of everybody?
It's a mix of everybody. You know, I've had personal conversations with the county commissioners. Adam and Alan, our planning staff, have had conversations with Desiree at the county. So, you know, it's like everything else that we've done in the past several years. It's just part of that team effort. And so when we talk about economic development projects that the city and the county have done, or Advantage Shelby County, or any of the other number of things that we've completed as a group, this is another one of those.
I know there's a Zaxby's located in Greenwood. Is there soon to be one here?
Oh, yeah. Father Mike, you know, so Father Mike at St. Joseph texted me the other day. It was funny. He texts me. He says, "Happy birthday, Tom. Is it true we're getting a Zaxby's?" So, you know, I think the birthday was just an excuse for him to text me and ask about
sure.
Zaxby's. So, yeah. So on the southeast corner of Rampart and State Road 9, where there used to be a Shell station years ago,
yes.
Adjacent to the Waffle House. That is the site that Zaxby's received their preliminary approval for. I think maybe you saw the renderings at the Plan Commission meeting. And so, yeah, it's going to happen. It'll be directly across the street from Casey's, which is under construction now.
It's going to be a much different looking section of the North Highway 9.
Johnny, you and I have been around long enough to remember the Holiday Inn.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And when it was the Knights Inn, you know, remember that
I do.
That dump, and how the city really worked hard to get that torn down and to get that leveled. And so, yeah, that's going to transform to some degree that intersection, no doubt.
How many, if there are others, how many different plots of land are there? I mean, I can see the whole thing, but yeah. Is it broken up into sections or owners?
Well, I mean, there are. There's various owners there. There's a space between the gas station and Waffle House that's available. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that lot has some challenge. I'm not sure what it is, but I've been around nearly 30 years, you know, planning director and mayor, and I've never had a proposal for that lot.
Okay.
I've seen proposals for other lots in that area, but I've never seen one for that one. So I'm not sure what the challenge is there. But then, yes, if you go east on Rampart, if you look at the lot behind McDonald's by the hotels and the athletic club, there's space available there. So, yeah, there's still room for some development in that area.
I know you've mentioned that you've been meeting with some people who may be looking at building residences, whether it be in the city or county, and it's often been thought that when that happens again for Shelbyville, that it may be on the north side, out towards our direction here
uh-huh.
on 9.
Uh-huh.
How much does that prompt conversations again, or thoughts of when do we build a new fire station or a location for fire on this side of town?
Sure, sure. So we'll take a short step back. The discussions that we've had about residential development have been north and south.
Okay.
I mean, quite honestly, the primary discussions have been on the south side because that's where the growth for residential development has been with Southern Trace, with Clearview, Countryside, you know, those areas there, Country Creek. And so that's where all the infrastructure for that type of development exists. We have looked at a couple on the north side, and a meeting that we had last Friday with the group I'd mentioned is actually looking out in the county as well. I've reached out to a couple of county individuals and said, "Hey, would you like to meet with these folks and have a discussion?" So now to get to your question, we commissioned a study with an expert who helps us figure those things out.
Mm-hmm.
And not only are we looking at a win, but what does it look like? You know, if you look at our run volume, 80% plus of our runs are medic runs. And so it looks like when we do a station four, it's going to be more of a medic, you know, and small firefighting apparatus as opposed to a ladder, a giant engine, things mm-hmm. like that. So when that happens, we still haven't seen that report yet. I haven't gotten a preliminary report to look at it. But I appreciate the fact that Tony Logan, the fire chief, has reached out to somebody who this is their career, is to put those metrics down and come up with, if you would, a tipping point to when that would happen.
Speaking of fire and medic runs and the like, the efforts are now underway with a director in place to, I don't know, redo 911 and how it's handled and even how it's equipped here in the city county.
Yeah, the consolidation of city and county dispatch, you know, and that discussion has been going on informally for decades. I remember when Bob Williams was mayor. Back in the mid-90s, when Bob was mayor, he had tasked me with looking at efficiencies in local government. And so we being me and the department heads at the time, sat down and looked at potential opportunities. You know, we looked at, does it make sense to privatize the wastewater facilities? It did not. Seymour at the time had just done that. Indianapolis had done it. In fact, Stephen Goldsmith was mayor of Indianapolis at the time, and I'd reached out to him and talked to his staff, who was in charge of privatization. And when we looked at the numbers and had discussions with the communities who'd done it, we decided not to do it. We looked at, as I'd said, consolidation of dispatch and things like that. So it's something we've been discussing for 30 years or better. And I think it all boils down to it's the service provided to the citizen. We think we can do it through consolidation in a more cost-effective, more efficient manner. Jason Abel, the 911 coordinator, he and I have met a couple times, and I've asked him about his goals and what he hopes to achieve. And the bottom line is there'll be standardization. There will be a higher level of training that will provide a better product, I think, for the community. Our dispatchers have done a great job for the years that they've been there. We have people there who have a long career with the city or the county as dispatchers. We just had one retire with 35 or so years. You know, he's been there a long time. And so I think it's our opportunity now to modernize and do some things that we've been trying to do for a long time.
I've had a question brought to me saying, what's the Greenleaf situation? We haven't talked about Greenleaf in a long, long time.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you drive by there, you see the dirt moving. Mm-hmm. The contractor is out there building the detention pond right now and doing the rough grading on the site, providing the fill material for the pad for the building. Mm-hmm. Greenleaf had some difficulties with their general contractor. And so they had to go back to essentially ground zero and get a new general contractor. They're tweaking the design. There's a board meeting that I think should have happened or will happen in the next couple of weeks to approve the revised design. And then I think we should be moving forward pretty soon on it. They're still continuing to hire people, so they've got their upper management staff signed on. In fact, we submitted our grant to the Lilly Endowment for our early childhood development center, and Greenleaf was one of our early signatories to a letter of support saying we think a high-quality daycare would be beneficial for our recruiting efforts. So along with Plastic Moldings and Ryobi and Indiana Grand and others, Knopf, they were right there with us, you know, partnering the whole way. So no one should perceive that because there's not a building sticking up out of the ground, that there's a problem. I mean, COVID has really sidelined everyone, no doubt about it.
And speaking of COVID, with the move to stage 5, we know what that meant percentage-wise for a restaurant, for a bar. Did it impact what the city's doing at all, or was it basically you're at where you're at?
We're at where we are. I mean, organizationally, we are where we are. You know, we still encourage the wearing of masks. We still encourage social distancing, all those things that the governor has put forth. We are now, because we're at stage 5, we're allowed larger events. So I'll be making a formal announcement on Halloween coming up in the next day or two. We will be having trick-or-treating, but there will be some guidelines. And so I've been working with the health department on that. Those will be forthcoming in the next couple of days once I get the final okay from them, and then we'll be moving forward. So anybody who's wondering if they should buy a mask or not, definitely buy a mask, but also look at creative ways to integrate that into your costume also, because we will be having trick-or-treating unless something happens between now and then.
Do the guidelines include anyone over 45 not taking half the candy off a front porch?
No, you know, there's always that, what do they call that, dad's cut or dad's ransom or whatever. So, no, that's, you know, it's the old joke when we were kids, Johnny, where dad ate the ears off the Easter bunny. You know, dad picked the Reese cups or whatever out of, my dad was notorious because he worked nights either 4 to 12 or midnight to 8. And my dad was notorious for swiping all my Reese's cups, yeah, you know, when I went trick-or-treating, which out in the county was tough anyway, you know. It was a valiant effort on the parts of my parents just to get candy because we lived in the middle of nowhere. So, Yeah, I don't know. I think that's still going to happen.
As a voter, I would guess, certainly, and as a mayor, how closely do you watch what's going on involving Indiana's gubernatorial election?
You know, I pay attention. I really do. I got to say, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm just worn out by politics. You know, I had an election. Well, I had an election last year.
Right.
And national elections, those campaigns are not never ending now. You know, our current president and presidents before him have been campaigning the entire time they were in office. And so you see that the election cycle is just never ending, and I'm just exhausted from it. And I think everybody else is too.
They are after last night.
Yeah, I didn't watch.
I did.
Well, and I'm sorry that you did. I don't know that you're a better person for it.
No, I'm sure I'm not.
You know, I think at this point in the game, because we have a never-ending news cycle, that we have constant campaigning, I think there are very few undecided voters left out there.
Me too.
Now, I think that there are people who will not admit that they're voting for or against someone, that maybe they keep that to themselves. And I think that's okay too. I don't know how much faith I put in political polling any longer after the 2016 election.
Especially polling that goes on during a debate. In other words, the percentages jog back and forth depending upon who's talking and who yelled at who.
Yeah, it's like watching a horse race, you know. So I think the majority of people have their minds made up, and I think there's a fair number of people who just won't say I'm voting for or against this person. The bigger concern that I have is when we'll know. I think that the American people, I know my family and the people that I'm close to, are ready for it to be over. And I think they're looking at that November 3rd deadline is when we'll know something, but I don't know that we will.
Well, and that's the date that ballots have to be postmarked,
right,
too.
And
how many are going to come in.
Yeah, we just saw the federal court case in the Southern District that said that I think it's up to the 13th.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the clerk's offices have up until the 13th to count ballots as long as they're postmarked by the 3rd.
We thought Bush-Gore was a waiting period. This
may be something else. Yeah, you know, we had comedians joking about hanging chads for years. and even not long ago, I heard a comedian use that joke, and then I saw a lot of confused millennials going, what the heck is that? What's he even talking about? So, yeah, I don't think November 3rd is going to tell us anything, honestly. We may know the popular in-person vote, but the absentee and the paper ballot vote, we won't know for weeks.
I think you need to know that the Board of Public Works may have saved me with a recent move.
Tell me how.
You put that stop sign back at Franklin and Miller where I was still stopping even after it was gone and getting dirty looks. So I'm safe now that I can actually stop there, and it's the right thing to do.
Well, you know, and we stumbled on that decision. It was brought to us. We asked for a recommendation. We went with it, and then the system worked. You know, I started getting phone calls from people saying, look, we'd like you to revisit this, and this is why. And so spent the time down there sitting at the intersection and watching traffic and going during the day on a week, you know, in the evenings, and realized, you know what, we made a mistake, and I'm glad that we fixed it.